Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's give it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the soon and coming King. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is about to baptize someone with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need to be excited in the house of the Lord. We need to be running and jumping and leaping and saying, the Lord's grace has brought me to his house. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, somebody, you can do better than that. Let's give a praise offering to Jesus. Let's remain standing. Listen, let me say this to you this morning. When I was a chief sinner, and we went out partying and done and painted the town red and went out into the world or went to clubs, I was excited. Come on. I was excited because I knew tonight I was going to have some fun, even if it was wrong fun, but I was going to have some fun, and I looked forward to having fun. I was excited in the world. So why, when we come to church, we're not that excited? It's like an effort. Oh, come on. It's like an effort jumping and praising the Lord. We got to be excited. You know why? Because Jesus is about to touch the life of someone in this church. Jesus is about to heal someone. Jesus is about to deliver someone. Jesus is about to restore someone. Jesus is about, come on somebody, to save someone. Now we need to be more excited about eternal things. Come on somebody. Listen, listen, listen. We don't need more local churches to be established. No. We need more living churches to be established. I'll say this and then I'm going to start preaching. I'm a guy for prosperity. I've nothing against prosperity. But there's a fine line. Listen carefully to me this morning. There's a fine line when the only focus in the church is prosperity and money, but there's no power. There's no power. There need to be a balance. Oh, Grabasita. I'll say this. I didn't plan on saying this. Today's Pentecost Sunday. Oh, and I came fired up, man. Come on, somebody. I'm ready for this morning. Listen, listen. So I tramp on some people's toes as I travel around the country. Leaders and pastors. Some doesn't invite me back. But I know this church well. So I just deal with things. I'm an evangelist, so we'll say the thing like it is, and that's it. Listen, listen. I understand sowing a seed to meet your need. I don't know why I must say this here this morning. But manipulation is equivalent to witchcraft. Okay. So I challenged leaders one day, sir. I said to them, I read the scriptures from back to front, the gospels. I saw Jesus operated. Oh, you got to get this morning. I've never seen Jesus walking in the Galilee, and a leper approaches Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me, you can heal me. I did not see Jesus saying this, yes, I will heal you, but first put some money down. I've never seen that in the Gospels. So let me say this morning. There's many preachers preaching about Jesus, but they're not preaching what Jesus preached. Oh, there's a difference. I've never seen Jesus meeting a man that was lying at the pool of Bethesda, lame for 38 years, and say to him, Do you want to be made well? And if a man did say yes, says, well, there's a condition. First put some money down and then rise up. Oh my God. And walk. I've not seen the things in the scriptures, man. So I don't know what gospel is being preached. Let me say this and I'm going to preach. The more that is done, the less power. My God is not subjected and governed. Well, let me say this. My God's power is not subjected and governed by your money. Jesus did not say, pay and then nail me. He said, nail me and then I'll provide. So why I said this, one day in the tent, one pastor was hammering, people must put money in an envelope and come up. And one old lady had a need and she says, I don't have money, does that mean Jesus will not heal me? And from that day onwards, I said, enough is enough. Enough with this nonsense. Do you agree with me, pastor? It is a whole lot of, okay, I'll say it this way, hogwash. My Jesus heals, delivers, saves, come on, because he's a God of love. There's no condition with this love. There's no condition with this grace. It is free. People are bound. People are sick because of nonsense in the church. Money did not save me. I had all the money in the world and I was lost. I would have went to hell with all the money I had as a sinner. So how can it is now that I'm saved, a minister of God, I must say to people, first put money down and then you'll see your miracle. Listen, I got something to tell those preachers. Take a kite and go and fly. Listen. I said all that to say this. There's people in this church. You have not in this church. Out there. That have experienced that. I've heard some nonsense in the world. If you call the prophet. If I come out, it's 1,000 rand. It's 2,000. It's 5,000 rand before I come. Listen. Then keep your prophecy. And I'll keep my money. God is about to do something in his church this morning. No money can heal you. No money can deliver you. And no money can save you. But I know the King of Kings. He's the one that can save, heal, and deliver. The gospel is free. Yes, it takes resources to go and proclaim it. We're not getting around ignoring that fact. But manipulation is so rife and evident in our churches today. And then they say, it's God. It's not God. But guess what? God is about to show up here today. Without money. You may... Wait. I'm not done. Amen. Are you excited this morning? I didn't plan on saying that, but somebody, brother, needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear. Manipulation is witchcraft. They pray on water, they sell the water. My God. You pray over water, he put his face on the water, then he sells the water. Take that water and flush it. What? No, I'm sure my king is sitting in heaven on the right hand looking and saying, what is happening down there in my name? Jesus is so disappointed, I believe. Heartbroken. You don't need no water to be healed. You just need to believe. Jesus said, if you can, hey, believe, all things are possible to him or to her who believes. You might not have money, but if you got faith and you believe, God can move mountains on your behalf. Am I speaking to someone here? So just remain standing this morning. I just want to honor the most important person in this place, and it's the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, no one will be healed, no one will be delivered, no one will be set on fire, and no one will be drawn to the altar to receive Jesus. Holy Spirit, we honor you. You are the VIP in this place. Saturate this atmosphere to overflow. I pray that you'll anoint speaker and hearer alike. I pray my tongue will be like a pen of a skillful poet, speaking the oracles of God and proclaiming the glorious, undiluted, no watered down gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you in advance for healing, deliverance, salvation, the infilling to overflow. I thank you in advance for someone that will be set on fire this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand clap as you're going down. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So my wife is Abigail, and this is the team from A36 Kingdom that you've seen in front. And you know, when God calls you, you need a team. You can't do it on your own. And I always say that we have the best team in the world, because every ministry has to see themselves having the best team in the world. Are you excited? Amen. Did you come expecting this morning? Amen. Is anyone facing some challenges this morning? But God. Who was here on Friday night? All right. Go. What do we need to do? And the part of the team, they hear this message of the Great Commission and they hear about the Holy Spirit. But you know, repetition brings revelation. And how appropriate is it this morning? It is Pentecost Sunday, and I thought how appropriate it is for me to minister on the Holy Spirit again. We can never teach and preach enough on the Holy Spirit. And I believe even this morning that the Holy Spirit does not only want you to hear who he is, he was going to show who he is here this morning. You know, when I thought about it, I thought the word God, 2/3 of the word God says go. We need to be go-getters in the kingdom of God. We need to go get people out of the clutches of the enemy. Is there any go-getters here this morning? And the only way we'll get people out of the hands of the devil is by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And now that you understand and have an urgency in your heart to go and to fish for people, we need to go into the world, but we need to go into the world with the fire of God. You see, many people say, hey, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No. The Bible says it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus will come, but John the Baptist said, and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of fire. One preacher said, I pray myself on fire every morning, and when I step out, the world watches me burn. My question this morning is, who has watched you burn the last week, the last month, the last year? Hallelujah. I love what Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke says, put fire into your message, or put your message into the fire. It's a gospel of fire. Does anyone want to be set on fire this morning? Yeah? Listen. The only way a church will become a living church is if the church is on fire. Fire. Those days of lukewarmness is over. Come on, somebody. I said to guys the other day, I said, when I served the devil, I had fire. A perverted fire, but I was a fiery sinner. Come on. Why, when we get saved now, and God saves us, and we become like this, when a guy greets you, it's like, hey, brother, how are you? Says, hey, bless you, brother, I'm okay. We think that's humility. That's nonsense. That's like the water the guy's praying over. Come on. I was fiery in the world. I was bold in the world. Come on. Am I speaking to someone here? But when we get saved, we become all like, all fluffy and bushy-tailed. Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm so well. I'm so blessed. Thank you, God bless you. I'm on the way to the house of the Lord. That's not of God. You can be humble and on fire. You can be humble and bold. You can be humble and courageous. You can be humble and hungry for souls. You can be hungry and bold for the Lord. And the Lord does not only want the people that are saved for many years on fire. He wants the youth on fire. Let me say this to the youth this morning. He wants you on fire with your swag. He wants you on fire with your skinny jeans. Come on, am I speaking to any young ones here? He wants you on fire just the way you are. Because your attire does not determine who you are in the Lord. It's the fire that must burn in your belly. It's the fire that must burn in your heart. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the word is sacred and it's unchangeable. But the method is changeable. So the youth are who they are, wearing what they're wearing, but the fire can burn in them too. The exact fire burning in the elders. We must allow a good synergy between the youth and the elders. But the same fire can be burning in all. And the youth can touch a lost generation. Hallelujah. You see, when the youth, when you approach your friends in the world, they want to see something different in you. They don't want to just hear that you're another Christian. When you approach them, they want to see that my friend is on fire. There's something different about my friend. There's something different about my brother. There's something different about my colleague. There's something different about this person when they speak to me. Listen, I don't want to just be no ordinary Christian. And the only way that the city can be taken for Jesus, the only way that the city will be on fire is if the fire starts in the house. If there's no fire in the house, there'll be no fire in the community. And if there's no fire in the community, come on, people will never have an in-depth revelation of this Jesus that we are proclaiming. Hallelujah. We can talk all we want about Jesus, but the world wants to see a supernatural demonstration of who Jesus is. How do we distinguish the world from us? By the fire. Am I speaking to someone here? And so today I'm speaking on the topic of set ablaze. It's one of my favorite topics. It's one of my favorite messages to minister. And I believe that Jesus is about to set someone ablaze here this morning. We had a 10 campaign in Westbury in February, and a 5-year-old girl came forward. Listen to this. 5-year-old. A granny tried to pull her back. She broke loose and she came. And when she stood in front, I asked her, do you understand what's happening? She says, yes. She raised her hands, tears rolled down her eyes, and God baptized her. And I'll say this to you. There's no junior Holy Spirit and senior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that baptized that 5-year-old is the same Holy Spirit that indwelleth me. So there's no junior Holy Spirit and no senior Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit of power and fire. We must not limit what God wants to do in the church. Amen? And today I want to speak about two men. Jesus and Peter. And I have to draw a parallel between the two men. Is that okay this morning? And I'll add Thurston in as we go along. Is that okay? Amen? Amen. So in Matthew chapter 3, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And this is a promise that John the Baptist gave his disciples and the people. He says, John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I believe that someone is about to be baptized here with the Holy Spirit and fire this morning. Hallelujah. You might be sitting here looking and say, okay. Get ready. Hallelujah. The word ablaze means on fire, flaming, burning, blazing, fiery, and ignited. I believe this morning someone is about to leave here. Some people on fire, flaming, burning, blazing, ignited, and fiery for Jesus. If you believe that this morning, shout amen. But I'm going to say this morning. You got to believe it. It's only when you believe you will receive. You need to be hungry for this. You need to say that enough is enough with mediocrity. Enough is enough with this lukewarmness. Enough is enough. I want to be on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'm going to do the baptism. Raise your hands, brother, right now. Kabarabu Sata. In the name of Jesus. What's your name? Anthony. My name is Thurston. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You are born again. You desire. Amen. I'll lead you right now. We're not going to limit God and become programmed. You want it now, you have it now. Amen. You're going to come back to Jesus today?
Yes.
Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose on the third day. I now receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we thank you for Anthony right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray right now for every chain to be broken, every shackle to be loose, every prison door to be open. In the name of Jesus, we command Anthony, thou art loosed from every bondages in the name of Jesus right now, that you will not be enslaved and entangled in the ways of this world. We pray for healing upon him right now. Karabo Sata. Healing upon Anthony right now. Healing, healing, healing of emotional hurt in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you mend every scar in his heart. I come against the spirit of rejection right now. I come against the spirit of condemnation and guilt. I come against the spirit of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, hatred. And I say, Anthony, thou are loosed right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, fill him to overflow. We know that you are not moved, Father, in the name of Jesus, by where he's at, but we know that the Son still sets free indeed. And as he has desired and stepped forward in the midst of the message, we thank you, let it be done unto Anthony according to his faith. So we thank you for his rededication. We thank you for healing upon him. And we thank you for the infilling in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Could you come up just now for prayer again, eh? God bless. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand clap to Jesus. You see, we need to desire the fire of the upper room, not the smoke from the supper room. It's going to take fiery Christians to bring change in Krugersdorp. It's going to take fiery Christians to bring change in the nation of South Africa. You see, when we are smoky Christians, we will not be effective in this world. But God wants a generation that is fiery to rise up and take their communities back for Jesus. Listen to the promise fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3 verse 16. It says, and when he had been baptized, John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus now. And listen, this was not the first time John the Baptist met Jesus in water. It's the second time. The first time John the Baptist and Jesus met was when they were in the water of their mother's wombs. Kabasita. Come on, I'm speaking to someone. The difference with then and now, when they met, is that the skin, the body separated them. But that day, when Jesus stepped into the waters of the Jordan River, they were face to face. And this is what happened. And they said, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. The word alighting there is synonymous to the word ablaze. When John the Baptist fully immersed Jesus in the waters of the Jordan River and he came up, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But it says, and the Holy Spirit set Jesus ablaze. Jesus was set on fire right there. Isn't that amazing? So my question to you this morning, church, beloved friends, family. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to do the work of God, you and I need him as well. If Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to do the work of God, if Jesus needed the fire of the Holy Spirit in order to do the work of God, then certainly you and I need the Holy Spirit and fire too. You see, the Holy Spirit, beloved, is our partner in the miraculous. If we provide the voice and touch, he provides the power punch.
Come on.
If we go out in this community and we speak about Jesus, hallelujah, people will be saved. And we lay our hands on the sick, people will be healed. He's our partner in the miraculous. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, so do you and I. Am I speaking to someone here? You can do nothing as a believer without the Holy Spirit. If you want to be effective in the kingdom of God, you need to come to a place to give your all to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person with a personality. You can converse with the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Godhead. As a believer, I'll say it again, you can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that could come and draw Brother Anthony to the altar. Not me and what I'm speaking about, but the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he does. He draws people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Bible says. And after Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, I just want to lay a foundation. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in the fourth chapter of Matthew. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus. And he was tempted by the devil. And when the 40 days and 40 nights was over, Jesus then exited the wilderness. And then Jesus started his Galilean ministry. Listen carefully. He first received the Holy Spirit and fire. Then now, he was in a place to start his ministry. Come on. Because starting the ministry without receiving the Holy Spirit and fire, you will not be very effective. Hey. So God knew there's order in the kingdom of God. My son needs to receive what he needs to be effective for what I have sent him to do and mandated him to do. And so Jesus started his Galilean ministry in the Galilee, in the region of Tiberias. And after he started his ministry, he said, all right, I received the baptism and the fire. Now I established my ministry. Now I'm going. I'm calling my disciples. Come on, somebody. And they said that Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew, busy fishing. They just threw cast their net into the sea. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They looked up, saw Jesus. Immediately, the Bible says, they left what they were doing. They left their boat, they left their net, and they left the potential catch of fish, and they followed Jesus. I believe this fisherman was still half naked, getting ready, following. Come on, somebody. They were fishermen. They followed Jesus. And as they were following Jesus, Jesus continued walking along the Sea of Galilee. And then he saw another three gentlemen. He saw James and John sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending a net. And Jesus said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Them, they left their boat. They were busy mending the net. But what Jesus was saying, leave the net you are mending. I'm calling you to mend a broken world. They left their father, they left their boat, and they left their net, and they followed. So Jesus called four disciples at that time. The other eight he called at different times and places. But today I want to focus on the one of the four, and his name is Peter. So I want to share about Jesus and Peter to you. That was just my foundation. Are you okay this morning? Hallelujah. And so here Peter is walking alongside Jesus. A fisherman being discipled by Jesus. A fisherman that's uneducated. No qualifications. No Bible school. Come on. I believe that was his Bible school, walking with Jesus. Amen. He followed Jesus. Jesus now stepped fully into his ministry. But he was just being shadowed by Peter. Peter was just an ordinary fisherman being discipled by Jesus. But this is how Jesus starts. Jesus goes to Cana. And Jesus turns water into wine. Jesus is now walking in the supernatural and operating in the miraculous. Let me say this to you. Before Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, Jesus did not walk in the supernatural. Jesus did not operate in the miraculous. Jesus was just Jesus. But when he received the Holy Spirit and fire, he moved from just being Jesus, an ordinary man, to Jesus. Come on, somebody. A miracle working Jesus. Amen. So he goes to Cana. In John chapter 2, and Jesus turns water into wine. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, you can read in your time. Then in John chapter 4, verse 46 and 454, Jesus heals a nobleman's son. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 to 15, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. In Luke chapter 5, verse 3 to 10, Jesus allows the disciples to catch a last number of fish. Supernaturally, they were toiling all night. They did not catch one fish, but Jesus came during the day and said, look here, cast your net into the deep. It was an impossibility, come on, for the fishermen, because they were professionals. They knew that during the day you cannot catch a fish. How can you tell us to catch fish during the day when at night is fishing time and we did not catch one? But he did not understand that the man that was operating in the miraculous, walking in the supernatural, said, cast your net into the deep. And what happened? They caught a net-breaking boat sinking. Catch your fish. Do you know why? Because Jesus, after the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire, he moved to another dimension. He stepped into another realm. And I want to say to you this morning, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So we are more spiritual than human. And God wants us to step into and tap into that realm of the Spirit to operate in the supernatural. Am I speaking to someone here? Am I speaking to someone here? You see, when we operate in the natural, we'll never be effective for Jesus. I'll read a few more scriptures of miracles. And here it says that Jesus heals a leper in Matthew 8. Further in that chapter, Jesus heals a centurion's servant. But look what is happening here. It does not say Peter is healing with Jesus. Peter is being discipled. Jesus is walking in the supernatural. And Jesus is walking and operating in the miraculous. But not Peter. Peter's time did not yet come. It was Jesus' time. And I want to say to each and every one of you, you have a certain time on earth in this life. What are you waiting for? You're not getting younger. Time is leaving us. So for the time that God has placed you in this earth, you need to be effective for God. You see, when people think that church is about coming Sunday to the building and this is church, we have missed it. Church is a daily thing. Amen? Listen to what it says here. In Matthew 9, it says Jesus heals a paralytic. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. In Luke chapter 7, it says, Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. In Matthew 8, it says, Jesus calms the storms. Come on. Did we hear about any of this before Jesus received the baptism? No. But all these occurrences and miracles happened after Jesus received the baptism and fire of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says further. It says, Matthew chapter 8. It says, Jesus delivers a demon-possessed man. Matthew 9 says, Jesus heals a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Matthew 9 says Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. In Matthew 9, again further along, it says Jesus heals two blind men. And further in Matthew 9, it says Jesus heals a man that's mute, that could not speak. In John 5, it says Jesus heals a man that was lame for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. In Matthew chapter 14, it says Jesus supernaturally fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 barley loaves, come on, and 2 fish. Come on, Jesus. There's nothing natural about what Jesus is doing. Can I get a good amen? In Matthew chapter 14, it says, Jesus walks on water. Some of you will say, yes, but Peter did too. Let me say this to you. Jesus was walking in the supernatural, operating the miraculous. Peter just benefited. Come on. Peter was not walking in the supernatural. No, 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 no. Peter benefited from the one that was walking in the supernatural, that was operating in the miraculous. Come on, somebody, say amen. Because if Peter was operating in that dimension, he would not have made a difference if he looked away from Jesus. Come on. You have still been walking. But because he was benefiting from Jesus, he walked on the water. Let me say this to you this morning. Do you know how many people can benefit from you as believers, as a church of Jesus Christ, if you walk in the supernatural and you operate in the miraculous? People are waiting to benefit from you, the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see here that Jesus healed people supernaturally. Jesus delivered people supernaturally. Come on. Jesus raised people from the dead. Jesus cleansed the lepers. Come on. And Jesus provided for people supernaturally. But at this point in time, Peter was not operating in that dimension and realm. Peter was being discipled. The same Peter that walked with Jesus, talked to Jesus, shared meals with Jesus, shared sleeping places with Jesus. We were at Peter's house in Capernaum, where Peter lived and where Jesus spent a lot of time with him. We went to see the house. There's a church built and there's a glass floor. And at the bottom of the church, the remnants of Peter's house were. So Jesus spent a lot of time there. Peter saw Jesus performing all these miracles, but he was not operating in that dimension yet. In Matthew 26, Peter denied the same Jesus. Come on. He denied the same Jesus that he walked with. He denied him 3 times. He fell, he failed. Peter. Because Peter was walking as an ordinary man. And then Jesus was crucified. Come on, somebody. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose on the 3rd day. And then Jesus dwelt on earth for 40 days. Come on. But listen to what he says, and then we'll get into Peter. Are you getting something this morning? There's one thing to have the urgency to win souls, but it's special having the urgency of winning souls, but being activated in the power and fire of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says here. This is before Jesus' crucifixion. He says this to the disciples. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Tell your neighbors, to your advantage. To operate with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus says this after his resurrection. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endured with power from on high." Tell your neighbor, it's to your advantage to be endured with power from on high. Ah, you don't believe it this morning. Is it the early service? Is it another service after this? Tell your neighbor, it is to your advantage to be endured with power from on high. And why? Why is it to our advantage to be endured with power from on high? Why? I'm glad you asked me that question. I didn't say ask your neighbor, I just asked you that. Praise the Lord. The answer for that question is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is before Jesus' ascension. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That is why it's to your advantage to be endured with power. Because when you are endured with power from on high, you will then become an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You see, many people can witness, but they're not witnessing effectively. There's a difference. They're not witnessing with the power and fire and authority of the Holy Spirit. And God wants everyone in this church, young and old, middle age, God wants you to operate with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says here. After Jesus says this, he ascends into heaven. They watch him going. There he went on a cloud. And he'll be coming back that way for those who believe. Come on. Jesus is coming back. I pray that he tarries because so much people are still lost. If you come back right now, thank God. But Lord, just hang on. We need to still go. We need to still be light carriers and bearers. We need to still tell people about your saving grace. Amen. And this is what happens. He ascends into heaven. Whew, on the 40th day, the disciples all see him go. And he's gone. And 10 days later, that's what we're celebrating today. In the book of Acts, when the 120 were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit on the 50th day came down upon those 120. The fire and power of God came down on those 120, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received the fire. They prayed in tongues, and people thought, whoa, and I'm paraphrasing, these people are drunk. And guess what? The same Peter, come on somebody, that denied Jesus 3 times, when he heard they say that they are drunk, the same Peter that denied Jesus stepped forward and said no. He defended the name of Jesus. The same Peter that denied Jesus, the same Peter that was gripped by fear, is the same Peter that stepped forward with the holy boldness, and it's the same Peter that preached the first red hot fiery gospel message, and 3,000 people got saved. Imagine the same Peter that denied Jesus, the same Peter that fell, is the same Peter God used. And I want to submit to you this morning, your falling does not disqualify you from your calling. Hey. This Peter preached a hot, come on, red hot message. And 3,000 Jews came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when my wife and I was in Israel, I was always taught when Peter was in the upper room and they got baptized, he started preaching there. But that's not the truth. I misread it. The upper room and the place where the upper room was not conducive for thousands of people. So what Peter done when he left the upper room, he went around to the southern steps. It was the entrance of the temple on the southern side in Jerusalem. That's the place that Jesus entered when he was in Jerusalem. Now that place had stairs running down, and that place had purification pools. And so people were coming to the temple that day like it's an ordinary day. Jewish people still purifying themselves. And here this Peter comes, flaming on fire, start preaching this glorious gospel. And while they're still purifying themselves to enter the temple, hallelujah, they are convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 Jews are convicted, and they surrender their lives to Jesus. They move from purification to sanctification. God just saved them. God washed them with the blood, hallelujah. But Peter and his apostles did not stop there. Peter and his apostles said, wow, we're going to capitalize on this moment. We are going to maximize this time. Peter and the apostle says, well, you are born again, so we're going to turn this purification pools into baptism pools where full immersion will take place. And they said they were baptized. Come on. 3,000 people were baptized. I have a picture of a conveyor belt. I don't know how quick they were baptizing them, but 3,000 people are much. Next. Listen. The same Peter that feared for his life when they said to him in Matthew 26, you are one of them. He was first polite. Peter said, no, I don't know Jesus. When the heat started and the pressure came, he made an oath that he does not know Jesus. But when the real pressure came, the Bible says he cursed and he swore that he did not know Jesus. That is why God is a strategic God. He knew where Peter was. And that's why with his resurrection, and the ladies came, the three women that came to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they found the angel saying, no, he's gone ahead to Galilee as promised. And then this is what the angel said to them, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Hey, God included Peter. In spite of his falling, God said, no, you're still included in my plan, because my plans were plans before you were born, Peter. Come on. Because the Bible says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I sanctified you. So God knew about Peter before his mother's womb. And I imagine that good news for Peter. That's why I believe when that people said they drunk, Peter stepped forward. Because for him it wasn't just good news, it was the best news, saying that I'm still including God's plan. Now, how do God take a man that failed Jesus? Denies him, swore and cursed. And Peter was an ex-fisherman. I mean, I can fluke you. And it's not bless you, brother. Oh, no, no. Those brothers could swear. Imagine what the old Peter before he was discipled came out and swore those people. Hey, I'm not going to say that. Don't worry, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, but God doesn't stop there with Peter. Jesus is ascended and seated at the right hand of God, released the Holy Spirit, came upon Peter. Now Peter is operating in another dimension. The greatest miracle took place where he preached and 3,000 people got saved. But God doesn't stop there. One day Peter and John is on their way to the temple at the gate of Beautiful, and they meet a man that is begging there for alms. Begging. This man was carried there in the morning, and this man just thought, today is just another day that I'll just be begging for something natural. But then these two apostles came, Peter and John. And Peter looked at the man while he was begging for alms. Peter looked at him in his eyes and said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, come on, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hey. And then the Bible says, Peter took him at his right hand, lifted it up. And the Bible says that his ankle bones and his feet strengthened. And the man left there leaping, jumping, and praising God for his miracle. Imagine this Peter. Hey, an ex-fisherman. A one that denied Jesus. Just looks at the man. And says, silver and gold I do not have. What Peter was saying to him, the natural things that you want from me, I don't have, but I have something better. I have something supernatural. There's supernatural power in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter, and the man went leaping. He moved from having an ordinary day, come on somebody, to a splendid day of healing. And listen to me, if God could use Peter, God can use you. The question this morning is, how much of God do you want? Are you comfortable in a place of complacency? Are you comfortable just being a Christian? Are you comfortable just being here and saying, ah, I'm going to heaven? God did not save you just to go to heaven. God saved you to make an impact while you're on earth. Listen to what it goes further. The same Peter in the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 11, you can read at your time. Two believers, a couple, and Ananias and Sapphira. God is just a God's ways, is not our ways. This couple sold their property. They kept a portion back, and they kept with the rest of the money, and they put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, is this all the money? They said, yes. They lied, they were in agreement. And it was not all of the money. Peter asked the husband first. He was alone. Afterwards, and he lied. And Peter rebuked him and he died. Listen, listen. That is under grace. Isn't it, Pastor? That's the grace, the dispensation. That was under law. The man died under grace. You might say it's unfair, Brent. How can this man die under grace? So the man died. They took him, they buried him. The wife came in. Oh, my God. Peter. And look who they put in charge to find out if they're lying. Oh, you didn't catch that. They put a liar in charge to question liars. The one that lied about Jesus. They put him in charge to lie about, to question liars. And the wife comes trotting in all happy. Because she has something stashed at home, she for her and hubby. And Peter asked her too. And she insists, no, that's the truth. She's still in agreement with her husband. But she did not realize that she was in agreement with a dead man.
Oh, my God.
She did not realize at that point in time, her husband has died. She was in agreement with a dead man. I want to say to you this morning, there's no time to be in agreement in this life with things that are dead already in your life. And then Peter said, the footsteps you're hearing is the men that are here for you, the same men that buried your husband. And she died, and they buried her. So I ask you this morning, where's the grace in that? Can you see the grace in that? I believe grace saves the soul, the spirit, isn't it? I believe that God took away the flesh to save that soul. But it's under grace. Paul says that, isn't it? What does Paul say of the flesh? That was in Corinthians, Pastor? For the flesh to be destroyed and the soul to be saved. So we can, as theologians, you can study it all you want to. There's no way getting away from it. They died. Under grace, they died. But their souls were saved. Am I speaking to someone here this morning? But how does God use the one that lied to question the liars? God's ways is not our ways. His time is not our time. God does not look at the outer appearance of a man, but at the heart. That is supernatural. You speak to someone and just die. That's unheard of. I don't want you now, if you have a lie and you want to speak to your pastor, you think, not too down. Pastor Keith, please. Some of them are like worried here. One of us are confessed now to the pastor next. Listen to what happens further, and I'm coming to a close. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. People heard about Peter's reputation. It's not about a man, but they heard about his reputation in Christ. And the Bible says they brought out into the streets when they heard, Pastor Keith is coming down the street. They brought out the sick, lame, diseased, being bound people. The Bible says on beds and on couches. Imagine that. Imagine in the street here, the church. People are coming out with the sick. They're putting them in the street. No traffic allowed today. And here, Brother Peter is coming. Walking in the supernatural, operating in the miraculous, confident in his calling. And the Bible says that they brought people into the street so that Peter's shadow might fall upon them and they will be healed. I never heard about Jesus' shadow falling on someone. Come on. Peter's shadow fell on people and people were healed. There is nothing natural about a shadow healing you. A fisherman, an ordinary fisherman that God is using in such a powerful way because he received the Holy Spirit, he received the fire, he received the power, he surrendered to the Lord, he walked in the supernatural, and he was operating in the miraculous. And let me say this to you this morning. It's not only for Bible times, it's for us today. People wonder why these things are not happening. But it's supposed to happen. Listen to what it says further in Acts chapter 9, verse 32 and 35. Peter then visits a man called Aeneas. And Aeneas, he was paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter comes there, boom, the man gets healed through a spoken word, gets out of his bed, and he's totally healed after 8 years. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42, they heard about Peter being in the area. And a lady by the name of Tabitha died. When you translate it, it means Dorcas. She was a woman known for good works, a believer. She died, and they said, we know about a man that operates with the power, fire of the Holy Ghost. We know about a man that's walking in the supernatural. We know about a man operating the miraculous. And they said, call and send for that man. When Peter came, he closed the door. He went into the room alone with that lady. Because sometimes you got to do things alone. There's sometimes in life that God will just call you alone into a place. Amen. Come on. Because sometimes others that are with you are not believing the same like you are believing. And Peter went in, he prayed, and Tabitha, Dorcas, was raised from the dead. God took a blundering fisherman and turned him into a powerful apostle. God wants to take you from all your blunders that occurred in your life, all the wrongs in your life, and make you a powerful disciple. God wants each and every one in this church, in the body of Christ, to operate with the power and fire and authority of the Holy Ghost. How can I doubt God's supernatural power, a man like me, when I know what it is to be bound, when I know what it is to be so deep into drugs and to crime, and to say, this is just my life. I made this way. I'm going to die this way. I didn't even know how I'll come off cocaine, man. Some days, 5 days, I didn't sleep. I used to sniff cocaine for 5 days and not sleep. 5 days, no eating, no sleeping. One of my first crimes I committed was in Krugersdorp. Right here, many years ago. But when I called on the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came behind Jesus, and delivered me supernaturally, man. From drugs, from crime, a supernatural touch from a living God. No rehab, no recovery, no psychiatrist, no psychologist, no medication, just pure Holy Ghost deliverance. Set me free. And 10.5 years later, I'm standing in Christian Heritage Church preaching about this same person named Holy Spirit and what he has done for me. Why would I limit God now if God done that in my life? People that knew me from my past, Pastor, when they meet me, they're still trying to look for the old Thurston. And I just carry on, okay. Because I think to myself, you're going to find nothing of the old in me. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, Jesus is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made brand new. So you're looking at blemishes and spots on a new man. Come on. Christ has made me new. And I'm not only new, I'm on fire for the Messiah. My heart beats to plunder hell and to populate heaven. And I'm saying here this morning to in Krugersdorp, to hell with the devil and to heaven with people. Amen? Amen. Listen to what Apostle Guillermo Maldonado says. And let me closing. He says, without the Holy Spirit and His power, Christianity is simply entertainment. Come on. I see a lot of entertainment as I travel. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It was not by Peter's might nor by his power, but it was by the Holy Spirit that infused him, consumed him, infilled him, and took hold of him. And Peter just walked in everything that God had for him. Amen? Listen to what it says here. We must be soaked in his might, magnificence, and makeup. When you are baptized with him, you become saturated with him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is for every believer, including you. Beloved, you need to be submerged in the Spirit of God, wholly and completely. Let me say this to you. When you went and you experienced baptism of the water, full immersion, that's how God wants you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Saturated. He wants that. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit touches us in our entirety. We are filled with him on the inside and covered by him on the outside. Amen? Listen to what Apostle Guillermo Maldonado says. He says, the true house of God defines itself by the power it holds. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the believer will be an illegal witness. That's why Jesus said to them, just tarry, and once you are endured with power, now you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gave them legitimacy to be witnesses. You see, when we witness without the baptism, we are illegal witnesses. Are you hearing that tonight, this morning? Listen to what it says further. There is no freedom without truth, and there is no truth without the Spirit of God. As children of God, we owe the world an experience with the supernatural and the Holy Spirit. The question this morning is, do you want to be filled with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit? I said to preachers the other day, I preach more than what I know. Did you get that? I preach more. I don't know, actually, I don't know much. But the one that indwelleth me knows it all. He's the one of revelation, insight. Come on. He's the teacher of teachers. Come on. He's the guide of guiders. He's the one that operates in and through us. I, without the Holy Spirit, I could not deliver God's word this morning. The worship team done such amazing. They would never have executed what they've done without the Holy Spirit. It's for you, it's for me, it's for every believer. The power and the fire. You know when Peter feared for his life? Fear. But when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, fear left him and boldness came upon him. The same Peter was fearful for his life, was so bold and thought 3,000 people, thousands of people. Imagine, you're not fearful of thousands, but that day when a few people said, one girl said to you, you were Jesus. One little girl said, you were Jesus. He says, no, I don't know Jesus. And here he steps and thousands of people are about to enter the temple and he preaches with a boldness. Because that's what you will get when you receive the Holy Spirit and fire. A boldness from heaven. Hallelujah. I shared a testimony the other night when the police came to arrest me. Someone called the cops to arrest me while I was preaching in Westbury on the streets. They called the police. But I didn't shrivel and go back and say, okay, sorry, sir, I'm going to put away my sound system. I was bold, man. I said, meneer, jy doen jou werk en ek doen my werk. As jy my moet toesluit, sluit my, maar toe asseblief, man, sluit my toe, meneer. Because I have no fear of a jail cell. I have no fear of the police officer because the Son has set me free indeed. And hallelujah, one opportunity it will have been for me to preach in that holding cell. Not only would have criminals come to Jesus, but the police around the counter would have surrendered their lives. Hallelujah, because you can't limit the Holy Spirit to a jail cell. He was working on the streets, and if you arrested me and put me in a cell, the Holy Spirit would have still been working. Hallelujah. But I was bold, you know why? Because what can you actually take from me? You can arrest me, put me behind bars, do whatever you want to, but you can't close my mouth. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody here. You can put me in the four walls and say you have disturbed the public disturbance. I will disturb this police holding cell. And I will preach this gospel of Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know people will be healed and delivered. I'm only bold because of the Holy Spirit. I'm courageous because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm not giving up. I will preach this gospel until I go to be with the Lord or until the Lord comes back. But nothing is going to stop me. I want to say to you, there's no demon in hell, no person, no devil that can stop your purpose. It's only you. Did someone receive something this morning? Is someone ready to receive some fire and power? It doesn't matter your age this morning. But you think, nah, I've been doing church thing for long. I'm not saying do church. What I'm saying is be the church this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give a praise offering to Jesus. Let's give a praise offering to Jesus. Let's give a praise offering to Jesus. We know, we understand we need to go with the power and fire of the Holy Spirit. You know when Elijah met the prophets of Baal? This is very interesting. They came and he said, no, okay, you do your sacrifices while it's day. God is a strategic God, man. And they done all their sacrifices and nothing happened. They cut themselves, they danced, they were going crazy because they were calling on their God and their God was not answering. And Elijah was teasing these prophets. Come on. He said, maybe your gods went to go and relieve themselves, man. Maybe they took off for the day. Huh? Maybe they're resting. Huh? And then the Bible says, come on, when evening came, when it was dark, Elisha then put his offering on the altar. And he said, now go a step further. Come on, put water in the trenches all over the offering. And then he called on fire. And then it says, the fire of the Lord consumed the offering. Come on. And then the Bible says this, it licked up, the water. Now, I love God for this. God is a God of special effects. To the guys of media, you know what I'm talking about? Special effects. How effective would it have been if Elijah called the fire down during the day? But he said, when evening came, he had a dark backdrop. Come on, somebody. Hey? That's like a black TV screen. And here, this fire rushes and gushes out of heaven. Hey, picture that. And consumes the offering and licks up the water. You see, God is strategic. God wanted to expose the lies of the enemy while it was light. And demonstrate his power while it was dark.
Oh my God.
God wants us as the church to demonstrate his power and fire in this dark and dying world. That is what God is calling us. But you'll never demonstrate if you're just in a place of, I'm okay. Listen, it's not about you. God not save you for yourself. God did not touch you in such a special way for yourself. If you think God touched you for yourself, you are selfish. God touched you because God has people on his mind. You think God could have met a man like me, he'll deliver and save me for myself, just to sit at home and be just okay? No. Do you think God would have met a man like me one night late in a very notorious place where gangsterism and drugs are rife, high on cocaine myself, a boot full of weapons, and whispered these words in my ear, my son, you must preach and pray to people? You think God, of all the billions of people, would have just handpicked me one night for me to just be an ordinary man? No way. God not touch you. God did not save you for yourself. This goes beyond what you're seeing around you. And I know ministry is difficult. Even my son and daughter, I have a son, he'll be 21 in November, my daughter will be 15 in September. What I'm called to do goes beyond them too. I'm not only called to be a father to my biological kids, to those fathers here. If you think that you're only called to be a father to your biological kids, you're missing it. God has called to be a father to every child that needs you. My wife is married to me. It goes beyond my wife, my brother, my mother, my family. Because God done something in my... Oh, am I speaking to some real people here? God done something inside of me that I can't explain. One preacher said, you have a burden in your heart, exactly. But things could have been different for me. I could have been dead or doing a lifetime in prison. But God saved me, touched me, set me on fire. How can I keep this Jesus a secret? I want the world to see the fire of the Holy Ghost. This church can make such a great impact. I know you already are making, but a greater impact if we decide today as the church to take up our rightful place. To stand and say, enough is enough with the prostitution in this area. Enough is enough with the drug peddling in this area. Enough is enough with the poverty in this area. Enough is enough, because we are going out and we are going to touch this world. God didn't save me at Rhema 8-10 years ago just to go back there every Sunday and alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Come on, somebody. Alive forevermore. No, alive. Come on, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Come on, sing hallelujah. Come, let's stand and sing that song. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Come on, sing hallelujah. My Jesus, see, one more time. Come on, come on. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Hey, my Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Come on, my Jesus is alive. Hey, sing hallelujah. Oh, sing hallelujah. Come on. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Glory. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Now guess what? He is alive. But how will the world see that Jesus is alive if we are in a place of So it's one thing to sing alive in the church. Come on. But we need to take this living Jesus into this dying and fallen world. We need to take this living, powerful, all-consuming Holy Ghost into this dying and falling world. The only way people will be made alive is through you. You have the key, and his name is Jesus. In your family circles, in your communities, at your workplace. I know Taryn is guilty of that one. At the workplace, Taryn ministers and prays for people that has needs, and God is using her in a special way in the workplace. You're not going to take up your boss's time, but if someone breaks down in front of you because a presence comes in, then you got to do what you got to do. Come on, am I speaking to someone? Amen. You got to do what you got to do. Just close that door and say, brother, let me lay your hands on you, or sister. God is going to heal you, and then lead him to Jesus. God wants to use you on your streets, at schools, young people, in the colleges, in your businesses, wherever you are, God wants to use you. My wife and I had sat down. I'd done a renewal of marriage vows, really out of my comfort zone, Pastor, but I'd done it. And then we sat with one guy, he was a CFO of a major company. And he said this, I had an experience and I was touched by God. And so the other day, he said, I had a meeting with another CEO. And when I sat down with that CEO, something happened to me. He witnessed to the CEO and prayed for the other CEO. And the other CEO was like, because he knew this guy. But then he saw someone else. Because this guy was touched by Jesus, touched by the Holy Spirit. And then he said, Thurston, all those things we chased that actually doesn't matter. What mattered more for me was witnessing and praying for another man in a place of influence. Isn't that special? We need more people like that to be touched. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Did you receive something this morning? It's Pentecost Sunday. Maybe you're standing here this morning. Maybe you're sitting, you're not in a position to stand. And you were invited here. Or maybe you come to church every Sunday. And you have never ever accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Or once before you did serve the Lord. You did say yes to Jesus. But you found yourself on a prodigal side of life. I want to say to you this morning that God is not mad at you, but God is madly in love with you and still mad about you. If that is you this morning and you say, Thurston, please pray for me. You're speaking to me. Maybe you're honest with yourself this morning and you say, I know that I'm far from God. You know. It's between you and God today. It's not between you and the person next to you, on your left or on your right or in front or behind. This is between you and God this morning. If you know that you're far from God and you say, Brother Thurston, that's me this morning. I would love you to pray for me. I want to come back, or I want to surrender it all to God. I want you to raise your hand in this place. If there's any person that wants to surrender it all to Jesus this morning, raise your hand. If I were to ask you this question this morning and say, if you were to leave this earth in the next 24 hours, do you know what will happen to you? Heaven is real and so is hell. But God said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no man, no woman, no one comes to the Father except through me. If that is you this morning and you say, Brother Thurston, you spoke to my heart. I want to surrender it all to Jesus this morning. Whoa. It will be a privilege and honor for me to lead you to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the only one that can save your lost soul. So everyone that raised your hands, I want you to take a bold step and meet me at the front. Meet me at the front. Nothing to be shy of. I'm not here to put you on the spot. I was on the spot since they called me up to preach, so we're not putting you on the spot, amen. Pastor Key just put me on the spot, amen. Come, come on, we can encourage them. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We can, let's get excited for this moment. Salvation has come to the house, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. We can do better than that. Let's do better than that. Let's praise the Lord for their salvation, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on, come on. Don't stop clapping. Don't fade on me now. Don't fade on me now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. One more minute. Jesus is not an auction. You maybe tried everything in this life. Drugs, alcohol. You've tried everything in this life. You've tried everything. You've tried everything. And you've not found fulfillment yet. This morning, I'm not saying try Jesus. No, Jesus is not on trial. I'm saying this morning, receive Jesus. And watch him take you to any trial. If that's you this morning and you know you must be in the front here, come. Come. Come, come meet me. I just sense we have to just give it a little more time. Come, come. If you know you must be in front here, come and meet me at the front. Jesus wants to enter your heart. Jesus wants to save you today. If you know you must be in the front here, come. Can we play a song at the back? Come. Please, thanks, worship. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Well done on stepping forward, young man, brother, sisters, well done, brother, stepping forward. You are wrestling, must I, mustn't I? Come, no questions asked. That's the sort of beauty of Jesus. When you come to him, he's not going to ask you, why were you a sinner for this many years? Why did you do this wrong for the... He just says, welcome, welcome, welcome. He just wants to love you and forgive you. Come. Soko borra baba soto robo sata. And we're a little over time, but we're going to be finished now. Are you okay? It's Pentecost Sunday. Is it okay? It's lives. Amen. Still coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Ikabarabu sata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to Jesus. Every time is different, even with the same message. God just moves the way he knows best. And I know we went over time, but it's Pentecost Sunday. So what a way to celebrate Pentecost together as a family. And if you have any testimony, share it with your pastor, Pastor Keith. God has healed you, touched you, and delivered you. Whatever it is, don't be shy. Share your testimony, because your testimony will stir up someone else's faith. And for those who came forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, continue praying, and God will just bring an increase. God bless you, and keep us in prayer. As tomorrow we travel to Cape Town, we have a 5-night 10 crusade in Mitchell's Plain, and so please keep us in prayer so many souls can be saved and that people can have an encounter with Jesus. God bless you. Remember that Jesus is Lord and Jesus loves you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith.